With Hashem's help us do it. With Hashem's help us to do. Hashem help us get to the emes and do your whatzon properly. Help us, Hashem.
Amen.
Okay, and let's work together. Hopefully, let's work together. Understand the emes. Hashem help us. We're on page Kaf Gimel. That's how we got to last week regarding the whip itself. Yada Tefa, about 10 lines down, Kaf Gimel, first side. 23A. For those, yeah. Well, our scrolls, okay. Just two quick points from last week. At least we can be Yotzi review a little bit. Be Yotzi Chazorah a little bit. We mentioned last week that we don't yell at the. In case of Yavam and the Yavam, Paul Kling over there, we had last week about how she's refusing to marry this person with a skin disease because she's repulsed by him. So it's interesting, on the way home on the bus, I thought about this. Why is the top Rivon, the Rivon at the top says, regarding the woman, you see the top Rivon, top line, we don't muzzle her, we don't silence her. Ein Megarin Bal, Shelo Tama I Avshim Bal. In other words, we don't yell at her. Wow. That's a strong lesson by the Rivon. That the Chachamim don't yell at her for refusing to marry her brother-in-law. And it's interesting how the Rivon uses that lesson, that language. So I thought about it, and we can learn some Musa from this, I think. I saw on the Masifta, he brings Rashi elsewhere. Where's Rashi in? Yevamos. Rashi and Yevamos use about the same scenario here, uses the terminology of kofin. Ein kofin ba. We don't force her. The Chachamim don't force her to say yes to this repulsive, to her brother-in-law who's repulsive to her. But the Rivon's amazing here. He's saying we don't yell at her. So I was thinking, what's behind all this? So I said, well, we all know there's a major tikkun taking place there. When she marries her brother-in-law, it's able to bring the neshama back. Her husband, or his brother comes back. The neshama of this baby that's born between them. It's a major tikkun that takes place. So even though she's refusing to take part in this tikkun, we don't yell at her. You don't yell at her. You know? You can see from here what a major tikkun she has to do here. Because I think that's why even Lashon Kofin by Rashi or here, a strong Lashon, don't yell at her. What's behind all this? Behind the scenes here is they're going to make a major tikkun here and she's refusing to do this. But you know, we what you can't. You gotta be cool. You gotta be cool. Okay, we can learn from this. Any mitzvah that might not come to fruition, we're about to do something. It doesn't come. Doesn't just. Whether for some reason Hashem's blocking us, we have to keep our cool. Here, the Chachamim are keeping their cool. Maybe they really want to yell at her. That's what's behind it, because he's gonna do a major tikkun.
Or maybe he's not gonna do the tikkun. The fact that he doesn't bring the Neshama back in the world is a bigger tikkun than the Neshama.
That's good. Okay. Because
the
Neshama
not coming back.
Ah. Okay.
Also a sequence
of
the Neshama.
Okay. Okay.
Think about it.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm just trying to understand why the Rivon used such strong language. And okay, that's good. Okay. It could be the reverse also. You're right. Yeah, it could be the reverse also. I just say, but why is this? Why we don't yell at her? Wow. We don't yell at her. Sounds like they want to. They really like to. But they, you know, they're gonna keep their cool. It's mostly for us also. Always keep our cool. You know, if we can't, things don't go our way. Okay, the Neshama.
Yell at
them. Yeah. One more point. We had a question also. How often do they give malchus? I checked it out. I asked around. someone who's a Bucky in Shas, I asked. See, there are cases in the Gemara, a few cases in the Gemara, where they actually gave Malkos. We had that question of how often was it given. We know Chazal say a Beis Din, like a Sanhedrin, that actually gives Misa to someone. That's like they're considered to be a killer court. Once in 70 years, if they do that, they're considered to be a murderous court. We don't know, per se, what about Malkus? We had that question. How often was Malkus? We see by that Chazal, it was very rare. Chai of Misa, it's actually a minister of Misa, one of the four ways of killing somebody, capital punishment, very rarely done. But there are cases in Gemara where they actually gave Malkos and lashes, and believe it or not, the Chavetz Chaim speaks about it too, that even if someone came to Beis Din, and we had that last week, someone who testifies and comes in, just shouts his mouth off, comes into Beis Din by himself, not even with another aide, by himself, Eid Achad comes in, starts giving Eidus without another aid next to him. Beis Din right away can give that person Malkus, just even if right on the spot. Give him Malkus for doing that. There are cases in the Gemara like that. Chavetz Chaim mentions it. How serious that is also.
Giving testimony on himself?
No, he, on a certain case, on a certain person. By himself coming in, the basin just starts yelling about someone that he's testifying on somebody that did something that's on him. Yeah, right, 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 right. And he could be, yeah, he can even be chai of, yeah, the Chavetz Chaim says, yeah. But we see cases in the Gemara, it's not so, wasn't so rare. Okay. Okay, let's go on. Let's go to that point now. Right about 10 lines on it. So, Yada Tefach. So, we saw in the Mishnah that the actual handle of the whip was a one by one. One Tefach width, one Tefach length. And we're going to go more into that now. Amar Abayi, Shema Mina, Kol Echad Vechad, Lefum Gabe Avdinen Lei. Right? If. It depends upon a person's back width. His back width, and we saw also, according to Rivon, that it has to wrap around a little bit because he's going to be whipped around on the width of his back, and the whip has to wrap around a little bit to his stomach. So this has to match according to each person, the width, of his back. Okay, Amalei Rava, Im Kein Navish Lehu Ratzuyos Tova. Rava's in a way rhetorically saying to Abai, well, since to Abai, you're not so specific on what you said, so I can extrapolate from what you said, there must have been many types or sizes of whips in the storeroom, mm-hmm. in the stock room, in the Beis Din or in the Sanhedrin available, so it could be, you could take one off the shelf and it would match the person's back size. So he says, so it can't be that. Rava comes back and says again, El Amar Rava, Ab Kasa Isle Ki Boe Miktar Be Ki Boe Marpe Bo. So according to Rava, it must have been that it was adjustable. The knot on the whip was adjustable, and it could be set for the person's size. If he wanted to miktar it, to tighten it, he could. And if he wanted to marpe it, loosen it, he could. The lesson I saw in the Masifta here, also elsewhere in Shas, this lesson of Kasa is lesson Aniva. Aniva, like a tie. We say slip knot. Yeah, we say in Hebrew aniva, like for a bow tie. Yeah, slip knot. Good. Okay. Okay. Now the Gemara, the Mishnah said Malkin also. We administer the lashes to him. Mana hanimili Hold on a second. So Mishnah said Malkin also money had immediately. Amar, from where we know this, Amar Rav Kahana Damar Kra, v'hi pilu hashofet v'hakihu lifanov kidei rishaso b'mispar. Right, Rav Kahana says that we have in the pasuk that the shofet should cause him to go down, to bend down, the person being whipped. And we administer lashes in front of the basin, in front of the shofet, and in front of the basin there. Kidei v'shosu v'mispar, according to his wickedness, is according to the number that he was evaluated to get of lashes.
Is this implying that the judge is doing the whipping? He's putting him in front of him, and he.
Well, it really means in front of the judge's presence, but really, we all know there's more people there than just the judge. We're going to see soon how many people were there, the counter, and
The pasuk.
Yeah. So, the pasuk seems to say in front of the judge's in the judge's presence. In his presence, but other people were there also. Right, Ezra? What do you want?
It doesn't necessarily have to be the judge.
Right.
But it could be.
Right.
But remember, well, there's three people for a basin, minimum.
You had people there also, but it was done in public. It also had the lesson of a kill, to demean him and to disgrace him, cheapen him. It was all done in public. His father's suffering till we get a kapora. So, yeah, it was in public there. The Gemara infers from this word milifanav, actually also on his front, the front of the person getting whipped. Right, Rasha achas milifanav, shnei rishios me'acharav. Right, one. One part on his front, on the front, on the chest or the stomach of the person being whipped, milifanav, in front of him, on his front. That's the Gemara's inference here from the word lifanav. And two parts for the reshuyos, from his wickedness. Two parts for his reshuyos on his back.
Does that mean every three?
So.
First one's going to be on the front, then the next two in the back. Then the next one on the front, the next one in the back. Is that what
they're doing? Let's see, 13. Well, we have to go by how they did the pasukim also. The pasukim that they read during the whole thing was 13 words, right? 13 words per. There were how many sets? There were sets. There were 13. That's what he says. Every time they went through, they did it 13 times. So it had to be 13. So let's say 39. 39 was the total possible, okay?
Yeah.
According to Chamim. According to Chamim, they say 39. That was the max. So there were 13. Oh, the three pesukim of 13. Yeah, three pesukim of 13 words each. So they would get maybe like this across his back. Would be according to the Rambam, it would be like 13 on this side on the back, 13 on this side lengthwise, and then in the front, the 13, the last 13. So 13, 13, 13, and as he's getting whipped, the reader will say, "We're going to see that. We're going to see that as we go down the page here." But that's according to the Rambam. Rivan, he's saying not lengthwise, widthwise. So he won't break. I don't know how. Maybe upper or lower, upper back on the width across his back, not like this. Rambam says this way, but he says this way,
no,
widthwise.
Horizontal.
So maybe he would say, okay, upper back And it was not clear. I'm not clear how the Ravivan would say how they break up the back, how they separate the back, the two thirds in the back. I would say.
No, he's just saying if you have, let's say nine lashes, this person.
Okay.
A third of them will be on the front.
Yes.
And two thirds, so three will be on the front and six on the back. But Edmund's question. What would be the order? Would they do three in the front and then six in the back, or every three they would separate?
I only saw according to the Rambam. I didn't know. I didn't see according to the Rivan. It's not clear. It's not clear for the Rivan. It's not clear how we do the Rivan.
According to the Rambam,
I would say the Rambam would be one side here. Three.
Without a stop. One.
Well, he's a keeper. There's a cadence here. As he's reading the pasukim.
Each word is getting a lash.
Yeah, each word is getting a lash.
One here.
Yeah. Or maybe in this case, since there's less lashes, he would read faster. That's when it's 39. No,
it's 39.
So everything's nice. Everything's peachy dandy, but if it's less lashes, he has to read faster to get the pasukim in. So the Rivan is not. I would say the Rivan would break it up that way, width-wise, on the upper part of the back, and then the other lower part, whatever you want, and then to the front. Well, based on the Rambam, they did the back first, the two thirds in the back first.
Yeah,
and then the one third was at the end. But first they start on the back. So I think the Rivan the same way. Just across the top of the back width-wise with the first third, second third lower back, then across the stomach will be the last one third.
What you're saying, nine on the top of the back.
Three on the top of the back.
Three in the middle.
Bottom back.
Three in the middle.
Yeah, okay, that's good. Because that's how the Rambam breaks it up. So I would think it's the same. Rivan would do it's. The back is.
Let's say you were evaluated for six malchus. The guy can only survive six, so they would do four and two. First four to the back, and then two to the front.
Good question. One, two, and then three to the front.
Then one, two, and then three to the front.
Yeah. Based on Rambam, so he would start off with the back. So the Rambam would say. Was six, right?
That's your evaluation. Six.
Let's say, okay, good.
Or you're getting four in a row to the back. And then two to the front.
Yeah.
Or are you going around? I think
that the Rambam would say here, two here, right side, or left, I don't know, left side first. I don't know, right side, lengthwise, two, then two.
Huh.
Yeah. Okay. So we have time? Yeah. Okay. Well, 13 plus 13, there's three pasukim. Hold it. One second. Where do you see that? He had enough. If it was 39, it was enough for the video to cover all the lashes. So you have to have. I saw that, wow. I saw, because 13 times 3 is 39. 13 times 3 is 39.
Right.
That comes out beautiful for 39 lashes. If it was less, you'd have to read faster. It wouldn't come out a lash per, like Michael said, it's a lash per word.
But he's saying, three pesukim total 39. That's what.
13. Hold it. Where do I see that? Maybe I saw. No.
Two pesukim are 34. And then the next one is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. The third pesukim is 13.
So the first two are 34 total.
34 total
for the first two.
Yeah. And then they have the two shemayim, and then you have the ruachum. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. The last two, the Sukkim, have the 6 have the 3 Pasukim, 13 words each.
Masha, that's not Masha.
He's not starting with the Pasukim.
Wow.
He said, he noticed more in that soul. He's not concluding that one.
Ah,
he's beginning with the
Masha says,
so the 3 with 13, yeah. And the first, it might be there were 2, there were 4 psukim in all. So if you're not counting the first pasuk, maybe that's said before.
I don't know, Masha says, he said which pasuk in the
The last three verses, meaning that out of the 4, the last 3 are 13.
Okay.
That explains that the first verse is an introductory statement that sets forth the reason for the lashes, why they must be given in the first place. So maybe. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Last 3, 13.
Yeah. So, okay.
Maybe you say that before you begin the lashes.
Yeah.
We saw one of them in first. Said the word Aleph in the Pasuk is the Gematria 36. To hint us that that was the max anybody ever got.
In one
state.
Okay.
The Aleph is the 36.
Okay. Ah, okay.
You know there's 39 lashes? 36 is the max.
Beautiful.
Doctor's orders.
Okay.
I thought it was a physician all the time.
Right.
Keep checking if the guy was up to.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting because we're going to see soon. They had a reader. The most chashuv person was the. It says here the most chashuv person. There was 3, but you're right. It was what about the person assessing.
Yeah.
The goof each time, evaluating
that's
the goof each time, right? Where is it? Oh, going to come to it soon, but hold on 1 second. Yeah. He would read. Yeah, the most chashuv person of the Dayanim would read. This, we have a counter. We have also a person saying, okay, start. Hey, Kihu. Hit him. Now, okay, we also know there's a whipper. There's a whipper. This Breister, it's a very, very cryptic Breister here. It's not including.
He's a professional.
Yeah.
He's a chazar.
Yeah. And also the physician or anybody who's going to be checking him. They don't say, or maybe we'll see it weiter. Maybe we'll see it go along. But we don't see in this Breister coming up, we only see 3. We know there's more than 3. There's a whipper and there's also someone evaluating the goof. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay, so we'll see. He's coming up. Okay, anyhow, what do we have time? Okay. Where are we now? Okay, but the doubling over the whip. Okay, doubling. Okay. Amar Rav Chista, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Minayin Leratzua, Shehi Much Pelis. What's the source that we double over? This calf skin. Wait, don't forget that we start off with 1 strap of calf skin leather, and we double it twice to come out with 4.
Well, no, we take 2 straps. Rashi said
that was chamor. Chamor straps was 2.
No, the calf.
Listen, the Mishnah says 1. By donkey says 2.
No. Where is that?
It says in the Mishnah, "Veratzua b'yado shel egel kafula." Egel l'shnaim, 1 to 2, and 2 to 4. Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then, but the Ravon says 2 straps. Now you can double that over the second strap.
Right.
Where's the Ravon?
Right. Yeah.
2 straps that are each doubled over. So now you have like 4.
Okay.
Where was that Ravon?
Okay.
93.
Double twice, right?
Double
Rivon says two straps, double ones. Okay.
Where are you in the Rivon?
Okay, one sec, hold it. Two straps, double ones.
What's the heading of? Okay. Where are you in the
Okay, hold on a second, I'll tell you. Hold on. One sec. Where did you see that?
Oh, you know what? I think maybe it was on the previous page, the Rivon, maybe.
Yeah, the Mishnah, okay. The Mishnah is saying, yeah, okay. Because somewhere in the Mishnah...
Yeah. In the Mishnah, on the previous page,
yeah.
It says, Kafula achat l'shtayim.
Okay.
That's one to two, to fold it over.
Right.
And it says, v'over tzua acheret. Then you have another strap,
okay.
Kafula l'shtayim, that you fold over to two. Hainu, that means, shtayim ritzuos shehen arba.
Right. Yeah. So somewhere along the Mishnah says, but I saw in the Masifta that somewhere I say it's one. Okay. Like the Mishnah, really. The Mishnah is like that. That Lashon.
Yeah.
But he wants to say the Mishnah is saying, okay. Okay. Yeah. Two straps, doubled ones. Okay. But, yeah. And I also saw in the Masifta that there's a day that says there was a fuch. The donkey was one, and the calf was two. It seems from the Mishnah the donkey was two. The donkey had, okay. Okay. So, anyhow, when they had it doubled, they would cut. They would cut the loops, right? And it comes up to before. It'd be four straps coming out. Like a bouquet.
then again, you have to remember the calf hide is intertwined with the donkey hide,
right,
to make it both stiff,
right,
and sharp and painful,
right. Shneimar v'hipilu, because it's Basik says that the judge caused him to go down, to bend down, v'hipilu. Now, from this, we learn the word doubling. Okay? Because you put a cuff in there. V'hikfilu.
But doesn't that sound like a bit of a stretch? Didn't say v'hikfilu.
Right? I was going to say that. Yeah. That's a stretch, yeah. So Gemara says, yeah, but one second. We already have this to mean something else. You're gonna, you know, like as Rav Feivel Baruch just said, this is a big stretch here, and the Gemara also adds on to this, adds salt in the wound. One second, pardon the expression. The gufe, we already are using this term to go along with what the judge makes the person being whipped have to go down, bend down. How are you going to now? You're going to now stretch it also to have a double meaning here. You're going to learn the same word to mean two things. But it says, "Imkain liktov korah yatehu." I have a better way to say bend down. It's called to lean down, lean over, like yatehu. And the Gemara is saying here, since the Torah could use a better language than hipilu. This is an interesting answer. This is an interesting answer you're going to give now. Still doesn't answer the question. We have a question here. How can you use this same word for double? V'hipilu. Doesn't say v'hipilu. V'hipilu. My hipilu. Since you could have used a better term to mean bend over, so I can now use the must be the Torah is teaching us. I can also say this. I can also stretch it. This term to mean v'hipilu v'hikpilu. Shmei tarte. The more it ends up by saying we hear from this, you can have two meanings behind the same word. So I know Feivel Baruch would not like this answer. Right? Somehow, no one's challenging this, and they end up like this.
We've had it in the past where you use sort of a vague word that maybe can have multiple meanings, different contexts. Okay, that's one thing, but here it's not even
Right. Right. Yeah, I know. And no one challenges. And they swallow this. Okay. Okay. We have time?
Yeah.
I don't want to step on your dress.
It's a big
guy.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. We'll try to do maybe a little more. Now we're going to get to... this is interesting now. This is very interesting now. Okay, IQ. Intelligence quotient now section. How much intelligence do you need to be a whipper? A young whippersnapper. The person who's whipping... what?
Georgia cracker.
Hello. Yeah. Okay. The one who's whipping has the mak biyado. The rabbanon, Bryce says, ein ma'amidin chazanin ella chaseire koach v'seire mado. The Tanakama here in this Bryce say we don't appoint the one whipping to be lacking in koach, lacking in strength.
We only
appoint someone to be a whipper to be lacking strength and to have a decent IQ. He has to have a certain amount of intelligence. Rabbi Yehuda Omar Afilu, even Chaseire Mada Viseire Koach. Believe it or not, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that the whipper can even be lacking in intelligence. Whoa, be careful. And has to have a good amount of strength. Rava says now, I'm a Rava, Kavase the Rabbi Yehuda Mistabra. It makes sense. I agree with the viewpoint of Rabbi Yehuda. It makes a lot of sense. Why? We have a pasuk, a double love in the pasuk, the pasukim. Dixiv, lo Yosef, pen Yosef. Two negative commandments warning that the whipper should not exceed the amount he is assigned to give of lashes. So this makes sense. The Torah is backing up Rabbi Yehuda here. Because we have to warn someone who is lacking intelligence not to exceed the amount that he's assigned to give. Are we okay with that? Yeah? Yeah, good so far. Almost finished. Right? It makes a lot of sense. If you that someone who's lacking intelligence, he needs to be warned. But according to you, Tanakama, now it's a question on you. But you, Tanakama, say that you only can take a whipper who has a decent amount of intelligence. Why would there be a need for the Torah to warn him? A question on the Rabbanan now. The Rabbanan, what would they say? Rabbanan would answer, Ein mazarzin ela limzoraz. We can only, the Torah is warning only those who have the have the brains to heed such a warning. You shouldn't have somebody in there who can even heed the warning with no intelligence. The Torah is talking about somebody who's in there who's going to be the whipper that has a certain amount of intelligence to heed the warnings. These two double negative commandments, not to exceed the whippings. That was okay. That's it, right? That's a new thing now. Well, that's it.
Well,
yeah.
Okay.
So,
okay. Thank you.